Welcome to The Odyssey, a podcast by and about Mesa County Libraries. My name is Emmy.
My name is Bethany. Special guests include staff members who share their various passions and community members who serve Mesa County.
Welcome, everyone. Today, I'm joined by Leslie Kent and Kevin Barclay of NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. Leslie, Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Leslie, you're the program director, and Kevin, you're the executive director, correct?
Yes,
ma'am. Perfect. Well, what are we here to talk about today?
Well, I think there's a lot to say. Ever since Leslie showed up, I've been with NAMI now about 2 years. In the community, I've been volunteering for mental health, doing fundraisers for mental health because of the need for attention. My hot button has been men and the stigma around conversations about mental health. And so that's always been a hot button for me. And Leslie will be talking about the programs. I'll just talk quickly about NAMI and where we are and how we are here in town. And Leslie can talk volumes about the other.
Perfect.
My passion for this community has been the opening up the lines of communication about mental health. It's easy to say that you have a sore knee, I have a cold, I have this, I have that. But it's hard to say I'm depressed, I need help. And, or maybe I'm off, or whichever way you want to say. Now, I've seen commercials that say, make the awkward conversation work and do all these different things. But in reality, that is an issue.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, especially in a certain segment of society, men have a bigger problem, but we all have a problem. You know, men, percentage-wise, at some point, I don't want to say 20% more, whatever the case is, because it's unfounded. But we do know suicide risks factor. A large part of suicides are men between the ages of 35 and 59.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concern there is that connection. One of the things that's been very important to me also is the connection piece. If we're not connected, if we're not able to communicate effectively, then we can't break any stigmas because we can't communicate. The question is, how are you doing? Like, Emmy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good despite the circumstances.
So there's an asterisk to everybody's answer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm okay, asterisk.
But, yep.
Right? And see below. And there's a host of things that are happening. We want to be that open line. We want to be that lifeline. We want to be, and Leslie will talk about the programs. The three things that we really do well is we support. We have support programs that Leslie will address. And we have advocacy that we work, that we do with people where somebody may call looking for help and we'll talk to them for a while and build a relationship. Then we'll refer them out to other places.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have education, and that's something else that Leslie will address. For my participation in this, I'm the big mouth, you know. I don't have a problem being in front of large crowds, little crowds, one person, 1,000 people, whatever the case is. It's not a problem for me. And I feel that my involvement in this is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think getting the word out is so much more important about where we're at right now.
In order to talk about where we're going and what we need to do, let's talk a little bit about where we've been. So NAMI, the National Foundation, was established in 1979.
Yep.
And today, they're an alliance of more than 600 local affiliates who work within these different communities to raise awareness and provide support and education that wasn't previously available. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So this Western Slope chapter that you are executive director of, we're about to get into basically what we're offering locally as far as free support groups, free education, and free community presentations. Leslie, you've been quiet this whole time.
Yeah, I thought I'd talk and then look.
He thinks he's the loud mouth.
This could be a conversation. It'll be perfect.
So there may be some competition.
Oh, no. No, it'll be good. It'll make for good rapport on the episode. So, Leslie, what are you wanting to bring to the table today? What do you want to highlight?
Well, I really want to talk about our support groups and our education, but if you don't mind, I'd like to share a little bit of my story.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think that is so very important. And so with that said, I have been divorced for 6 years. And before that, I was married to somebody with bipolar and a traumatic brain injury for 22 years. So I actually found out about the organization in 2007. And NAMI absolutely transformed my life as a family member. The support, the education that they have, the knowing as a family member that you're not alone, that there is such a large group of family members that are out there that don't know where to go, don't know where to turn, don't know where to get help from. And, you know, as you know, individuals who are living with mental health disorders, you know, they do have groups that are available. They've got, you know, physicians that they can go to and, you know, groups that are available, but the family members are often left out. And so NAMI really did save my life in amongst being married to somebody for that long with severe mental illness. And so I've come back just recently over the last couple months as their program director with just such a heart and a passion to really reach out to our community. And I really have a vision and seeing NAMI as the heartbeat of this community, because what we have to offer, nobody else can offer. Our programs are free, they're educational, they're support, and they're also all NAMI programs are peer run, which means if you're a family member, then anything that is taught that is related to family members is by a family member. If you are somebody with a mental health condition, then you are teaching other people with mental health conditions. So everybody can relate to everybody. You know, I'll share a quick story, which this was back when I used to teach one of the family-to-family education programs. And I'll never forget this. It's like it happened yesterday. I was in the midst of a crisis with my ex-husband at that point. And I remember driving to this class that I'm getting ready to teach, and I was in complete crisis. Mm-hmm. And also, too, a side note, one thing with NAMI is everything is done in twos. So you're never by yourself. You always have a co-facilitator or a co-support group leader. And so I just remember driving to this class thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I am a complete wreck right now. And I just remember having the thought, wait a minute, Leslie, everybody in that class gets it. Mm-hmm. You can totally walk into this class in a complete crisis situation. I was crying and I just had this aha moment. This is why I love NAMI. So I got to that group, said to everybody, I'm in crisis. I don't know if I'm going to even be able to facilitate tonight. My co-facilitator is going to take the lead and I will chime in when I can. And, you know, we had probably 20 people in that class. Everybody understood. Everybody was empathetic. And once I was able to just let that out, then my attitude was able to change. Like, okay, I can do this. I can do this because everybody gets it. Mm-hmm. And that is the power of peer-led groups.
You know, you probably noticed I kind of ran off with a factory speech. And, you know, I'm used to doing that because, you know, I've been in this situation plenty of times. But she reminds me that why I'm involved. And she knows full well why I'm involved. I had a real abusive childhood growing up. I had had a psychotic break. I was locked up. Because of my size, they pumped me full of lithium carbonate and Prolixin. And I couldn't talk or eat. I was 187 pounds. I'm not that now. You know, I just create the stigma myself sometimes without sharing my story. I get it. You know, there's plenty of men out there that my age that have been abused, mm-hmm. because it was not a big deal back then. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. You know, I don't know if you got a whole bunch of 50, 60-year-olds sat around and talked about what their childhood was. Their father probably punched them in the face or brought them up or something,
yeah.
Right? So that's why we have a problem with this age group, because it wasn't really brought out that much.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I had PTSD until Oprah told me. Because I thought PTSD was just military. I didn't know it was for abused children. And so, and major trust issues that happened too. So NAMI is that connection piece. Mm-hmm. You'll be talking to somebody who really understands. And part of this outreach, and I'll turn it back to Leslie because I don't want to be a mic hog. But part of the thing about NAMI is you'll find all friends, no foes. There won't be any contrarians. Having two facilitators there are to control the pace, so nobody's talking too much. Facilitators don't talk much. Unless it's a class, then it's led. But if it's a support group, then it's more like a, you know, they're just there to kind of guide everybody and get people talking. And if you don't want to talk and show up a couple times, same thing too.
Yeah.
You know, I've likened it to AA a lot because it's very similar. Everybody in the room knows what the guy is talking about. It's led, and then you have support afterwards. Everybody that's at NAMI gets it. They understand. Most people that are involved get it one way or another, whether they have a family member or they have experienced it themselves, and I'm both of those.
I think that's the way most connection is built, is having common ground. And if that common ground is mental health, then I think that's the best way to start. Like, versus somebody, you know, preaching for me at a pulpit saying, this is what you need to do to get better. If I were to see Leslie come in flustered because of this personal experience, I'd be like, man, she gets it, because that was me 10 minutes before I walked in. Like, that is the ability to connect versus thinking, or the appearance of I'm giving you information out of a textbook.
Just like I did at the beginning. I do that as a protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. I'm wounded right now. I'm not in a good place.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that's happening with the election, and I would dare say anybody that's listening to this right now, with what's happening with the election, with having to cover your face, with thinking about holidays being canceled, mm-hmm. what is the great thing that's going to be happening? And you know the great thing that's going to be happening is a person sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
Or a support group, mm-hmm. or being educated in how to deal with these things. We're at a perfect storm situation right now. So that's why NAMI really is being, you know, Leslie's doing a great job building things up. There's places for volunteers, there's people for facilitators, there's all sorts of ways to connect and stuff. So
yeah, going into that, what are you guys offering in the middle of seasonal affective and election hangovers and just having to isolate in general?
Well, right now we're hamstrung because we don't think the 2D effect really is very effective. Mm-hmm. We do some Zoom meetings. We had a live one back. We had a family life class at the beginning of the year. But that was sanctioned by Mesa County Public Health when things were a little bit more open. And we did all the social distancing, masks, and everything else like that. So, but we'll still be doing, you know, we have to, you know, be progressive. We'll have Zoom classes. We'll have Zoom meetings. We're working on the best way moving forward with this.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're just trying to be a contact. We have plenty of local nonprofits in our community where there's a voice, but we want to also be there. You know, there's contact information that you'll get at the end of this, or if you don't already have it.
Yep.
And we try to return every phone call that people call. We have an office phone number there, and then my cell phone's tagged to that, so I end up, you know, talking to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that, though, and so is
Leslie. Yeah, it sounds like you guys are pretty good people. Persons.
Yeah. Yeah, we're okay. You know, we just love people.
That's why we love having these community conversations and meeting with other nonprofits in the Valley who have that same initiative. So let's talk a little bit about the Random Acts of Kindness initiative that we partnered with you guys back in October. So from September 16th to October 31st, you guys had a Random Acts of Kindness Days. You guys created some fun cards. You want to talk a little bit about that and where those that got distributed?
Well, it was, you know, there's a couple of people that really got heavily involved. You guys were one. Then we also had Starbucks over on 12th.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have. What a plug. Like, they really need
it. #ad.
Man, they're really hurting for business guys. Go buy a cup of coffee for $12.
But that's great that a corporation has wanted to participate in a local
they
initiative.
Were, so the whole thing was you start off and, you know, somebody buys a coffee for somebody behind. They had the cards. They passed them out and stuff. We also had Royce Hurst.
Oh,
a lot of work. Anna Stout and the group over there. We're just amazing. And 211. One of the things that we did that was a little unique, instead of calling the newspaper, we decided to have them call 211. So then people would, you'd answer the phone and say, hey, I have a random act of kindness. So then all of a sudden that connection happens. Mm-hmm. So the person answers the phone and then you retell the story. It makes you feel good, them feel good.
Yep.
And what we were trying to do was build insulation. Unfortunately, what happened in the midst of that, my son in California was missing, and I had to go find him and diagnosed with bipolar 1, which was news to me. And the police had picked him up, and I had to go help out. And so I missed a chunk of time. And then when I came back, I saw vandalism. You know, there was vandalism on a random acts of kindness poster and, you know, so that always, and then we had some random acts of kindness stuff that was stuck in the ground that people stole.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking is they probably put it someplace else better. Hey, not here on Patterson Avenue where everybody drives. Let's put it over here.
Mm-hmm. Relocation.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was something. I think it got a really good response. I know it created a lot of awareness. I had enough interviews about it and there was enough information out there, and would certainly appreciate Mesa County Libraries supporting it. So I think that looking forward, I probably would have done things a little bit differently, but at the end of the day, it still created some awareness.
Yeah, and that's how we learn with stuff. You know, we can always improve next year.
Yeah, of course.
Or if we do it again in 6 months, like it's random. There's no set time we were able to do it. We can do it whenever.
It's a random acts of kindness.
Exactly. I'm sorry to hear about your son, but it sounds like you have a good community support group to help you through that.
Yeah, well, he's in California, but I also found a NAMI in Santa Barbara, which I would have never looked for.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the president, who'd been president for 21 years, and they had a network that I was envious of. They had the police, they had this and that and everything else, and we're getting there.
Yeah.
I've been working a couple of years at this, trying to create connections and stuff. And Leslie shows up, and it's funny because she was president for 7 years before. She knew all these people.
Yeah.
And they embrace her, and they say, oh, well, there's Kevin.
Who's this guy?
But, yeah, so that connection piece, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
And the network within our community is very important.
Well, and Rome wasn't built in a day. I think if we want to have those strong, impactful relationships between police forces and the health department and local libraries and other nonprofits, it just kind of has to happen organically. So,
I do want to mention, we have 248 nonprofits in our community at this time.
We have a lot.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them that go around mental health. And, you know, they're all amazing people. And they're all in it because of the same reason we're in with NAMI. And, you know, the people... I do want to shout out a name, Janice Curtis. She's been in our community for a long time doing yeoman's work that is beyond compare in our community, reaching out to people and stuff. And she is, I don't want to say the mother of mental health because that just seems...
The mentor.
She's the mentor of mental
health. I love that.
Yeah, the mentor is better. You know, mother is the clicky thing. But
sure, yeah.
She really is. She is just an incredible person. Along with her, there's a lot of other people in our community that are just, you know, the people at Mindsprings are working so hard.
Yeah.
And they're facing all of these things that are coming their way. And we have more coming. You know, I just can see it. And all the other people, Jennifer Daniels over at St. Mary's, and just people that put in their, you know, extra time and effort and stuff to try to make a big difference in our community. So it is a support network here, just like it was in Santa Barbara.
That's great. And, you know, scalably, you know, Mesa County is maybe a little smaller than California, Santa Barbara, just a little tiny bit smaller.
Yeah, I noticed when I was out there, it was different.
But no, I think it's good. And each ecosystem is its own ecosystem. We've got, you know, different needs out here than, say, people in California or Timbuktu. But the fact that we have people who are putting in the extra work and emotional energy to make sure that people feel valued and that their story is heard, it speaks volumes. What else you got for me, girl?
Well, I really, if I can just talk on our programs and what we've got kind of going for this next year. So basically, starting next year, 2021, we are going to hit the ground running. Right now, it's just kind of preparing the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I want to say, kind of just adding on to what Kevin said a little bit ago, is in regards to volunteer. We are a complete volunteer organization. And if you yourself have any type of mental health diagnosis, you're a family member, or you just have a passion to serve and volunteer in the realms of mental health, we are always looking for volunteers. this may sound a little bit, I don't want to say boring, because I do want to talk about the things that are coming up and what NAMI does have to offer. So we have what's called a NAMI Family Support Group, which is a family support group, just like it says, it's for family members who have loved ones that are living with mental health diagnosis. Then we have what's called a NAMI Connection Support Group that is for individuals living with mental illness. Now, we don't have any, like I said, a lot of this is going to be starting next year, but right now, NAMI Colorado has NAMI Connection Support Groups online that you can go to the NAMI Colorado page, and if you are an individual living with mental health diagnosis, then you can every Monday through Friday, they've got a support group in the evening that you can log into through Zoom. So I don't want you to feel like there's nothing available. NAMI Colorado does have that in place as of right now. And then we've got, there's an on-demand class. It's called NAMI Basics, and this is a six-week class for parents who have children and adolescents living with mental health diagnosis. And so that's on demand. They can just go right into our NAMI Western Slope website, click on the on demand, and they've got the training right there in their home. NAMI Family to Family is my passion and my love. That's the one I was talking about earlier. It is an eight-week education course for family members, and it is life-changing. It's transforming. You know, going back to when I did so many of them years ago, the aha moments that family members have is incredible, and it truly is what brings me back to NAMI this day. It's an amazing education program. Then we've got NAMI Peer-to-Peer. This is an eight-week education course for individuals who are living with mental health diagnosis. And as of now, we have two scheduled for the coming year. One is starting February 2nd, and the other one is starting September 7th. And I'm sorry, let me backtrack. We have four scheduled family to families for next year, and one will be a Zoom. So all of these dates, as I continue to talk, will be up on our Facebook social media page, and they'll all be on our website. Some other stuff that we have, these are all in regards to presentations. And NAMI Ending the Silence is presentations that go out to the school district. And Jen Daniels has led that, headed it up, and they've been in the schools actively over the last few years. We have what's called NAMI In Our Own Voice. We're actually getting ready to train six new presenters, and these are individuals who live with mental illness who are trained to share their story to the public in different types of presentations, and whoever wants to hear them, we are willing to set things up so they can share their stories. We used to go to CMU and share stories over there, and it was incredible. We also have, which I'm really excited about, it's called NAMI Family and Friends. And this is either a 90-minute or four-hour session for family members, and it's a presentation on mental health. And so my plan is to do these on a quarterly basis starting next year. Again, dates are not official yet, but as soon as we get the actual dates, we will have them all up on our website. And then the last thing I want to talk about is this is an online resource, which is NAMI FaithNet. Mm-hmm. And it's not a class, it's not an education, but it's simply a resource for the faith community to understand, get knowledge, get resources, and how to best help their churches in the realms of mental health. So we have a lot of exciting things happening starting in 2021. I feel like I'm a proud mama.
You should be. That's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And so I'm excited. And I will say, and I want to add is, you know, everything that NAMI does is free. Mm-hmm. We don't charge anything to anybody. And so this organization is truly run on donations and memberships. And so, you know, we're always looking for volunteers and we're always looking for finances to be able to help us reach out to the community the best that we can.
So this is airing in the middle of the holiday seasons. So that's an excellent segue to ask, how do people find you? How do they get involved? Phone numbers, web addresses, give me all the details.
The easiest is namiws.org.
Okay.
And it's NAMIWS, NAMIWS.org. That's our website. You can go on there and see all sorts of things. You know, it's interesting. I didn't really know much about websites when I first started this because I'm more like face-to-face.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Leslie, as you can see, all the programs. Another thing that she didn't mention that I'm very excited about is we're working on trying to get a veteran-only support group, connection support group. Mm-hmm. That would be off-campus, and it would be led by two veterans for all veterans. And so that's something that we're very interested in putting out there. So if you're a veteran and you would like to, I think we have one right now. We want to have a couple of facilitators for that. You have to have two to start. And so we're really interested in getting that going because our veterans in our community really need that also.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to add that. And also there's a program called Homefront. And Homefront is for family members of veterans. And that's also another big part because if you can help the family members, they're going to, you know, just like Leslie said, the veterans get the help and everything else like that. Hopefully, right now our registrations are about half of the veterans in our community are registered with the VA, the other half are not. But if you get the families in and get them moving, maybe they can bring their either husband or wife.
Yeah, influence them to just come along.
Right. That part of it, the donations are important. If you want to sponsor a program, you know, sometimes there's people that say, you know what, I really connect with Homefront or I really connect with the family to family. And there are certain things like that. You could actually sponsor that as a business, an individual, or whichever case, if you really believe in mental health. The connection support groups are something that I'm really excited about because that's when, you know, people walk in, sit down, and just say, here I am. I'm not doing well. Because that's what I really believe that our community needs that. And more now than ever.
Yeah.
You know, stay in your house, don't talk to people, drive in your car, put a mask on, wear a hat and glasses and, you know, do all these different things. But, you know, some people are just like,
yeah, I think
need help.
Humans were born to be creative and connective people. I think that's in our DNA.
Ever since the apple. So I think that those type of things. We have some events coming up next year that are planned.
Yeah.
One is a golf tournament in August. We had one this year, and it was a big success. You know, it was before all this happened, mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice. So August 14th of next year, we have a golf tournament. Each year, we've done a comedy show.
Nice.
And we had to delay that because how venues are set up and stuff. So we're working with CMU. We're also working with the Avalon Theater. They've been very helpful to us. So when that opens up some, we'll have that. We already have comics in the waiting in Denver. We have a couple in. This year, 2021, my goal is to have what's called Voices of Mesa County. And so what we want to do is have auditions from local comics that want to do a set from 3 to 5 minutes, and then we put them on stage. And then it'll be hosted by myself and two actual comics that have done time before. So it'll be a lot of fun.
That sounds incredible. I think you guys have done a fantastic job of pivoting despite all of this. You know, some things you're able to do in person much more effectively, but being able to do something via Zoom, it's still something. You know?
Emmy, she's done a great job.
It's all
pivoting.
Leslie, you guys.
I'm like this. Ah! So she's dragging me along, you know, like, come on, Kevin. Well, it's like, yeah.
I just want to add something too, just speaking because of a lot of our groups and classes are not going to be starting until next year. You know, what if there's a family member right now that's listening to this or somebody that is dealing with depression or anxiety? I just want to say to you, give us a call. Call the office, 970-462-3989. Just because we don't have a group this moment or until next year, you can still call. We have some amazing volunteers that will reach out to you and talk with you. So I just don't want you to feel like you have to wait. If you need us, call us now.
Yeah, and if you're in your car, I don't know if this is a car thing or not, but we have two phone numbers, that one, and then 812-0010. We got that number because it's so, like, easy to remember. So either one of those numbers work. And really what we want to do and what we have been doing is being an advocate for a lot of people. And if we miss your call, we'll call you back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for some people, you know, a group setting might be a little intimidating at first. So just having a conversation with one person over the phone might be a nice way to migrate into that. It's a nice little wading pool.
Well, I was just going to say, I completely agree with you. Just before I came here, I met with a young wife and just went and had coffee and got to support her. And, you know, sometimes there's nothing we can do at that point, but it's exactly what Kevin said. Sometimes you just need to know you're not alone and you're being heard. Mm-hmm. That's it.
There's a couple library resources that I want to mention, and like what you guys offer are all completely free. We have a library video streaming service called Canopy, and on Canopy, you've got documentaries and television shows and great courses, literally anything under the sun we have available. And there's one movie in particular that I want to talk about called The Mask You Live In. And if you're not familiar with it, it follows young boys and men as they struggle to stay true to themselves while negotiating America's narrow definition of masculinity. And it talks a lot about not being able to express your feelings as a young man, because that's not what quote unquote men do. And as you go to look at these on Canopy, I'll put all the information on the show notes for you guys. But on the right-hand side, there's related videos that talk about bro code and how you have to have this tough guys and lack of empathy. And the fact that we have local resources that are fighting the good fight, saying it's okay for you to have feelings and for you to have mental health issues, because everybody does to some extent.
I want to address that because it's a hot button, as she well knows. You know, you don't see me in person, but I'm about 6'8", about 300 pounds. So I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
And I really get that. But this is what happened to me. For the last 10 and a half years, maybe 11, I've been saying men have been emasculated to the point of near non-existence.
Yeah.
And you might agree with that. But it's wrong. And I only found out it was wrong about, I don't know what, Leslie, it was about 6 months or so ago, because I realized to be emasculated, there has to be a perpetrator and a victim.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is what we're seeing in the gyms and in jobs and stuff, women are just trying to be the best they can be. So what happened to us, especially the high side, you know, the 40 to 60s, we're like, wait, what's happening? I'm supposed to drive. I'm paying for dinner. I all these different things. We're not emasculated. We're confused. And I realized that what we need for our friends that are out there that are women is to write a new rule book so we understand what's happening. No, it's happening right before our eyes. I love the equal pay for equal work. You know, it's amazing what I see people doing. And she can tell you that all you want, if you ever want to light my fire, start talking about men and their problems.
Yeah.
Because this is the issue, and it's a trickle-down thing. Mm-hmm. If you get men that are a little bit more secure and they can tell their story and be a little more vulnerable, which is the new strength of the decade, if not more, then it'll trickle down. He'll be a better husband, better father. There'll be a lot of different things that will happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry. She knows I could go on for hours about that. So I'm out. But that's a big thing. And that book would probably be a very good read.
So it's not a book. It's actually a documentary. We're trying to move past the stigma that libraries are just books these days. We've got so many different ways of getting information to people versus just a traditional hardbound book. But if that's, you know, what does it for you, we still have tons of those. But similar to like Netflix or Hulu, you just log in with your library card. You might have to create an account with your email address. But we're giving people this great content in ways that they are used to consuming, especially being quarantined. I'm sure we've all watched everything in our queue and we're looking for more information and more media to consume. But this stuff in particular will actually make your life better. So I'll plug these in the show notes a little bit more for people later on. But is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I don't want to overstay my welcome, but I do want to put one other thing out there. On Patterson Avenue, there's a sign that says, "We're all in this together."
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I am not seeing it. I see that we're all in this apart.
Yeah.
We need to start bonding and supporting one another, mask, no mask, whatever the case is. Don't throw rocks. Don't blame games. Don't say mean things. Don't honk your horn too long. Don't do any of those things. Understand we're all under a great amount of stress.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's, we're all doing it, but we're not doing it together. The way to do it together is support one another.
Mm-hmm. It's a totally good point. We have an annual staff development day for library staff on Veterans Day. We're closed to the public, but the whole day is about personal enrichment. And we talked a lot about diversity in particular this year. And one of our managers in a group out in a breakout session had mentioned something fantastic, is always assume best intentions. When you're talking with somebody and having a conversation, they may be having the worst day and they don't mean to take it out on you. But sometimes that happens, especially when we're dealing with the general public and mm-hmm. the library in particular. We see a lot of people who are going through a rough time.
Yeah.
And by just being a listening ear and letting somebody talk it out, by the end of that conversation, if they came in frustrated, chances are they've alleviated just by having an opportunity to talk to somebody and just let it out.
And just assume also that we're not okay.
Yeah.
But another phrase we have at NAMI is it's okay to not be okay.
Absolutely.
Especially right now. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if you're not okay.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to not be okay. Give yourself a break. Normal activities, normal work, normal stuff that people do under the regular thing would be a certain way. Don't expect that you're going to do everything the same as you did before.
Oh, no. Not
your
during
emotional
a crisis.
Capacity is wrecked. You've got, you know, probably have some physical issues because of emotional things. There's a lot of stuff going on. Give yourself a break. Love yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to get on the pulpit, but, you know, I really am into the connection part and how important it is to reach out to one another.
Yeah, even just pen pals. You don't have to see somebody, but write them a letter and include a little drawing.
I almost started crying when I was saying that. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to move past it. I wanted to let you feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She can tell you.
Can I add something?
Absolutely.
Since you just said write a letter, one of the things I did want to say is in December sometime, we have a newsletter that will be coming out. And so if you want to be on an email list, because the majority of it will be electronic, just call the office to get your email on the email list so that you get that information when
it
comes out.
Yeah, subscribe to the newsletter. That's a genius idea.
Yeah.
And, and we're located, physical location we have, and thanks to U.S. Bank and their reaching out to us and supporting us, we have an office in the lower floor, or not the basement, because basement mental health, I always say bottom floor.
Yeah.
Of U.S. Bank at the corner of on the corner of Grand and 4th Avenue, right across from the post office.
Yeah.
So you go in there, hit B for bottom floor, and then you'll see our office right down there.
Perfect. Great location to be at, centrally located. Right on. Well, we are so excited for the things that you guys have coming in 2021. I think it's going to be a fantastic way for people in the community to get help and stay involved. And Kevin, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.